The weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost like the middleman that passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am so excited. I have two gorgeous lightweight cashmere sweaters coming my way, one camel, one heather gray. I cannot wait to wear them in the warmer months when it's chilly in LA. Throwing them over my shoulders, going to look so cute. Can't wait. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/judgingmegan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/judgingmegan to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/judgingmegan. And now, back to the podcast.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. I look like I'm glowing and yellow in this weird light. Why can I never start a podcast without talking about my lighting? Oh, now I look like really glowing. I am so grateful to all of you. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. And to the people that I posted some pretty personal stuff, which I always get personal, but it's probably as vulnerable as you could possibly be. I have a few reels that my beautiful friend, Amy Anders, made for me. She's just an incredible editor and she's an incredible person. And I just adore her. And I'm so lucky to call her my friend. So you can head over to my Instagram at Judging Megan and check out those reels and let me know your thoughts. But the whole reason I did this and I talk about suicide prevention as my biggest platform is because we have a mental health crisis in our country. We're going to go into this with my guest. And I feel like all I ever hear is negative stuff in the news. I feel like every time I open like TikTok or Instagram, somebody else has lost their life. We really have a crisis in our country. And I think by sharing, I say this all the time, if I need to be the guinea pig to make a change or to like sacrifice myself and what other people think of me because I'm not cool, I'm like the least cool person on the planet, then I'll continue to do it because that's what my life's mission is to stop what is happening and to help do my teeny tiny little part with my platform to use it to help with suicide prevention and help other people with their mental health. So I'm just going to say that. Also, if you're so inclined, please leave me a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you stream. It helps other people find me. I work really, really hard at this. I know that sometimes my ads can get annoying to you all. I hope that you understand I do this because I need to pay my editor Celeste and I need to pay my team. And I really appreciate you bearing with me through the ads and bearing with me and really just listening to the stories of the survivors and people that I'm grateful to have on my podcast to make it what it is. So this morning, actually, is it still morning? It's 11:11. It's 11:11, Jennifer.
That's amazing.
I just looked at my, That is crazy. Okay. That's crazy. A good thing. It was just, okay, I just looked at my phone and it said 11:11.
We've all been put here for a reason and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud and have been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
Everyone, I want to introduce you to my beautiful guest, Jennifer Lasco. She is the founder of Very Nice Beauty. She is also a mental health advocate. And I was introduced to her by my friend Diana Gallo, who is just an incredible lady herself. And we chatted like a few weeks ago, and I said, please come on my podcast. You had me at hello. So welcome, Jennifer. It's so nice to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you because it's people like you that have had the courage to have this podcast and put your story out there that open the door for other people to have these conversations. It's so important. So I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for this podcast. Thank you.
I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for all the things we're going to talk about. So I always tell my guests when they come on, and I don't know if I share this with my listeners, when I tell people when they come on the podcast, a lot of podcasters, they send questions and they want like bullet points. And sometimes I go on other podcasts and they might send me a questionnaire. I do everything organically. And sometimes when I meet my guests, I just say, it's like we met at a coffee shop and we're telling each other about each other's lives. And I think the collaboration of women and mental health awareness, and especially like women supporting women and women in the workplace, is something that is so important to me. So we're just going to start with like a little bit about your background. Can you tell me where you're from? Tell me and my listeners where you're from.
Sure. I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania. It's very rural. It's north of Pittsburgh.
Okay. I'm an East Coaster too. What part of Pennsylvania?
It's called Saxonburg.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's heard of it.
Well, one of my best friends from boarding school, Jill, she lives in Pennsylvania. I was just there like two summers ago. It's a beautiful state. I'm from Maryland, just so you know. Shout out Potomac,
it's
Maryland.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I love the East Coast, and I love East Coast people.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so same. So was your childhood like pretty happy? Did you have an okay childhood? I like to ask that just before we kind of go into it.
Yeah. To be honest, I had a great childhood all in all, very loving parents. It does not mean that things were easy for me. There were a variety of things that happened that were very challenging, and bullying being one of them. I got bullied at church. I was an outcast because I came from a different school district, and I was also bullied in school. Mm-hmm. In high school, there were things written about me on bathroom stalls. There were friends that turned against me. And it was really anxiety inducing. And honestly, looking back, I didn't even know it was bullying at the time. But now I do know that's what it was. I would dread going to school. I put all my energy into sports in school. So I lived through that. And to be honest, a lot of why I'm doing this is because I worry about the younger generations. I went through these things without the internet. Mm-hmm. This is aging, right? I was born in 1979. I'm turning 45 this year. And around the time I started college is when the internet really started and became a thing. Yeah. So I look at the young people today and having bullying and the internet, I honestly don't know how they're coping. And it worries me to the point where I want to be able to be a voice that helps them and says, I understand what it feels like. I know what that shame and fear feels like. You're not alone. And I also want to be able to show them what's possible for them in life, because I've done a lot in my career, and in my adult life, and whatever I can do to help is really important. I'm here to serve at this point.
Okay. So I always ask that in the beginning, like, tell me about your childhood. And a lot of times people start with, they're like, well, my childhood was pretty good. And then they say whatever it is. And I say this for a reason, because a lot of times, and I talk a lot about bullying, I talk about bullying with women that are in their 40s, 30s and 40s and, you know, older and younger. Bullying is a major issue. I went through it a little bit as a kid. I've talked about it before. It sticks with you for the rest of your life. And then we're going to talk more about this, but just being the parent, and I talk about it a lot. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I see, and I talk about this with my friends, and we're all like kind of trying to start a pact about not giving our younger kids phones, because what I saw, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, the difference in my child from the time I was one of the last parents to get her one in sixth grade. So I got her a phone in sixth grade because everyone else had one. And then I see, and you're in the beauty industry, I see like the filters and the things that she's comparing herself to and the TikToks and the, and I'm like, I look at Instagram and I say this a lot, or TikTok or whatever it is. And I'm like, I can't even deal with it. So to your point, how are they, their little brains supposed to be able to deal with this? And thank God there's so many people now, like writing books, authors, and I've had them on before, Dr. Mark Williams, talking about the human connection. This madness of, because the internet started around the time I was like in college too, or yeah, like around that time. And we had those giant computers. Remember those like big giant computers? But we didn't have to, like I say this, we could go to bars and not be afraid that somebody was going to record us. Or it's like constantly living in this society and this fear of like, what am I going to say wrong? What am I going to do wrong? Is somebody going to Snapchat me? Is somebody going to bully me? And people's brains really cannot handle it. Look at what it's done to you and me without the internet. So I love that you're speaking to that. And I love that you're doing something about it, because it's really important, and using your platform to help young girls. And it's just, I don't think there's anything more important than this right now, because until we get this internet and like this Instagram thing under control, I think our suicide rates are just going to continue to skyrocket. They're higher than they've ever been in our country specifically. And I think many other countries as well. So yeah, I'm so glad that you offered that up. But then I'm going to take a little pivot and go into like, you know, growing up and like how you started in the beauty industry. And can you tell me a little bit about that? I know I'm skipping ahead, but I think that's really important, how the childhood piece kind of stuck with you into adulthood and into corporate America.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with by telling you, I was the first generation in my family to go to college. And because of that, I made very practical choices around my career, because I wanted to be able to fully support myself after college. So I studied chemical engineering, and I did that for about 4 years. And I knew right away that was not my passion, but I had a massive fear of pivoting and not knowing what I wanted to do. So I worked with a career coach, and this was around 2004. So this was before career coaches were, I guess, as popular as they are today. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in a room, I'll never forget sitting in a room with her. And I was talking about, well, I don't know what I want to do next, because I'm afraid to make the wrong choice and then be going down a path again that wasn't the path. And she said, okay, I'm going to give you an assignment, go home this week and just notice what's around you. Okay. So literally I go home that day, I open my bathroom cabinet, and like products are just falling out of it. And I've always been a product junkie. Mm-hmm. I've always known that I loved product, but it's one of those things that thinking about a career in beauty just felt like so far-fetched and out of reach for me. I didn't even know where to start. So I had kind of just put that in a box. And I recognized at that moment that that was really what I wanted to pursue. So I pivoted. I went back to business school full time. And I took out loans to fund school and living, because pivoting, I thought full time was important because I just wanted to get where I was going. But I took a, it was probably close to $150,000 in loans.
Wow.
Knowing that I was responsible for paying those back. But I also knew that I was so passionate and just wanting to be in that space that I eventually worked up the courage to do it. And I had to work really hard to break into beauty. I thought, chemical engineer, they'll know that I can do things. And it was exactly the opposite. They would look at me and be like, what does that have to do with anything we're doing? So I hustled, I pounded the pavement. And ultimately, I was connected to someone at business school who has been a longtime mentor and is actually an advisor on one of my companies now. He introduced me to someone that had a startup skincare company where they had an acne device. And once I did that internship, that then opened the door for me. But there's more details, of course, I could share. But I think the high points are just that I eventually broke in. And it was literally a dream come true. I couldn't believe it. And I was so excited. Then when I got into the industry, and I was warned about this in advance, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget this because I was doing an informational interview and this woman was telling me all about beauty and how product development works. I was like, yes, 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 this is great. And then she said, but I have to warn you, beauty is a cousin of fashion. It's a really nasty culture. And I remember thinking in that moment, I have thick skin. I can handle it. And I ended up getting really sick when I worked in beauty. I was in it for over a decade. So it ended up not being what I had hoped for. Yeah. And also I found that I can't be in toxic environments and be healthy.
Okay, let me stop you right here real quick. So
yeah.
I love the piece of just the determination that you had. Like really just, it's such a beautiful story. And so it just really shows, and I hope you tell young girls this, that like, if you work really hard and you put your mind to something, like things can happen. I mean, it kind of reminds me, and I talk a lot about myself, sorry, of how I moved out here to pursue acting. Didn't obviously work out the way I wanted it to, but I just, from a young age, I was so determined to like, move to New York and be on Broadway. And then I was in New York and then I moved to LA and I packed up my whole car and I drove out here and I knew no one. And I did it. And I love when young women just get like that bug in themselves that they're like, I'm going to do this. So I think beauty, fashion. I mean, everyone knows The Devil That Wears Prada is a famous movie, Anna Wintour, like all of that stuff. It's gotta be hard to be in that industry because it's all about superficial things for the most part. Right. And I hope you don't take that the wrong way. Cause I'm just like you. I love beauty. One of my best friends has a beauty company, like my very best friend, and he's in it for the right reasons. But I think it's so important to just reiterate the piece of it that is like, you did it. Like, congratulations. You worked your way up. You took out those loans and you freaking did it. And so I hope that when you look back on your life, you say you own that piece of it. And it doesn't always work out like you and I both know the way that we think it's going to. And then other things start to come into our paths and things have a way of working out, right? I just had to say that. I'm sorry. I'm a loud mouth.
No, I love what you're saying and thank you. And you did not offend me at all. I think the superficial side of beauty is the problem because beauty comes from the inside. And I've done so much work on mental health that there's a really strong connection between mind and body. And beauty is a form of self-care. And so it really is meant to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. If it's not feeling good, it's not doing its job. So I ended up having to leave the industry after getting sick, which was also incredibly devastating for me. I was walking away from my dream. But that gave me the opportunity to experience the industry from the outside. And it was clear to me how overwhelming it is and intimidating. There's certain stores you walk into and you're almost made to feel shame for not knowing something or asking a question. And for me, I started very nicely because I want it to be a psychologically safe place where you can come and ask any question you want and learn about beauty and discover what it really means for you, because it's different for everyone. There is no one size fits all. So I think really reshaping what beauty means and what it looks like and how we think about that mind-body connection, that's why Very Nice Beauty is such an important brand, because it stands against mean girls, bullies, and toxic work environments. And my goal from the beginning was to create a community of like-minded people that value kindness and compassion in themselves and others. So building that community is the most important part of Very Nice Beauty.
Can I ask you a question? And like, you don't have to give specific stories, but I do think that it helps. I've talked about, you know, I worked in corporate America for many years. I've worked for some pretty awful female bosses. And I don't understand, and I've talked about this before, that it's always the, like, I've worked under men and women because I was in corporate America for a long time, but it was almost like the women that I worked under were like, didn't want to, they were afraid to see somebody like succeed or get ahead. And I just did a podcast with Marie last week. So that one's out. And she was very high up at Pepsi and IBM. And her story is pretty amazing. But I said the same thing to her about how kind of women are at a young age, I think, just like taught to like be pinned up against each other and compete for the man. I've talked a lot about this. I can never get to the bottom of it, because I like am very open about my story of being like bullied and going through that whole friend breakup and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the corporate world, it's like so incredibly cutthroat. So I would love to hear your two cents on like your opinion on that, and like some, maybe a like little snippet of something you went through to get you to the breaking point. Because it also made me sick. Like it's toxic. Like the way that we treat each other, it's really awful. So can you speak to that?
Sure. Well, first, I'm so sorry that you also got sick, and that's the problem. I got sick, and I also know other people that have gotten sick. And yeah, I've had that experience working under. So beauty is predominantly women, and instead of being collaborative and lifting each other up, there's a lot of like clawing each other's eyes out to get to the top, mm-hmm. and so much internal drama that it becomes not even about the consumer, which is sad, because the whole purpose of this is we're servicing people that want right beauty, but internally they're just battling each other. So my experience is, I had several, and I've been in several toxic work environments. I've been in a position where I've been held back from promotion. I was doing my boss's job while she was online shopping and gossiping in offices and sitting in meetings. And when a discussion of promotion came up, like, oh, well, that's a really big deal. And I'm thinking, I'm already doing this job while you're hanging out. So there's that. And then the most toxic environment I was in was a real life version of the Devil Wears Prada. And it's one thing to watch it for entertainment, and it's something completely different to live it. The person I was reporting to, for whatever reason, didn't like me. And I think that's one of the things I've had to come to terms with, is it actually had nothing to do with me. It was everything to do with her and the environment I was in. But it was, so I take a lot of pride in my work. Mm-hmm. And I went into this job so excited. I had a lot of beauty experience and everything I did was wrong. I would send her something and it would be nitpicked. Literally, why did you use this word and not that word? Oh,
I've been there. I've been there. It's not, it's awful. It's awful. Yeah.
And like 7 or 8 versions into something, it was completely counterproductive. And when you look at it, it made no tangible difference on the business whatsoever. It was purely an ego thing. And the goalpost was always moving and I was always failing. And I hired a direct report that ended up working with that woman to get me fired and take my job. And it was, I mean, getting fired was my biggest fear. Like, I come up from a very hardworking family and hard work has always been something that I hung my hat on and taken a lot of pride in. And so getting fired was so devastating to me. And I remember being called into this room with HR. Well, first of all, before that happened, I started getting physically ill going to work, where I was vomiting on my way to the office. And I ended up in urgent care multiple times. And they were checking to see if something's wrong with me. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. So I go to a gastrointestinal doctor and get all these tests done. And I'm expecting him to tell me something. And he comes back and he says, you know what? This is stress. You need to leave this job. And one would say, if you were getting sick, why didn't you leave? Well,
it's easier. That's easier said than done. You've worked your ass off to get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
People say that all the time. And it like drives me nuts. I just ran into a friend of mine the other day and she was telling me she was leaving her job because she was like, you know, I can't, like, no matter what I do, something you said struck me too. Cause you said this person, like, I don't know what, how you put it, but you said something like this person, it wasn't about me. It was about them. And I think that's really important when it comes to bullying. Bullying is never, and I tell my girls this all the time too. I have my 2 daughters. Bullying is never about you. And I, to be honest with you, I've talked about this too. I went through a period in my life when I was a kid, when I was kind of bullied, and then it made me sour and mean. And then when I went to high school and college, I kind of was like so insecure in myself and people and being vulnerable and being who I really was. Cause I was afraid I was going to get teared down, tore down again, that I became a bully myself. So it's a cyclical thing and it's so important to catch. So I try to tell, you know, my oldest, especially if there's, you know, she's gone through things and like the poor kid. And I'm just like, always remember, like if I could go backwards, I had a woman one time say to me in a bar, I went to all girls boarding school and she said, and I've told this story on the podcast before, you were the biggest bitch in high school. Literally me. And I mean, not saying I'm insane. I'm still like can be a bitch, whatever. I'm human and I'm heavily flawed. I say it all the time, but I was like so upset about hearing that because that's not who I am. But here's the thing, in corporate America or in life in general, the, if they see you vulnerable at all, which the boss must have seen a vulnerability on you, she was going to that like you're like a fish in water and she's just going to go after you. So the best advice I always tell my daughters is stick up for the person that's being teased. Say that's not okay. Stick up for yourself. If somebody has a problem with you, you bullies don't like bullies. You bully them right back. And I'm sure you know that. And I'm sorry to interject, but I had to say that. I think it's really important.
I appreciate you saying that. And the courage that you had to say, I've been a bully in the past. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things about being a bully is the intention is to take the attention off of them. Mm-hmm. If I'm bullying you, nobody's looking at me. And then other people get on board with it because they don't want to be targeted. So it becomes a ripple effect and people end up doing mean things because they get on board with this whole idea. And ultimately, it's a form of self-protection. I don't want to be the one.
It's a form of self-protection, but it's also a form of like a bunch of women get together and go to dinner and so they don't want to be the one in the spotlight. I'm talking about ex-friends. And so their thing that they can talk about is each other. So they're going to pick like one girl. So maybe you were the one girl at the office that they were like, she's,
I was.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, mild tempered and like a hard worker and really good at her job. But because we can see her as a target and I can like rise above and I'm the one that's safe, then we're going to go after you. And so I think it's really important. And I love that you pointed that out, that it's not about you. It is not. And like, so for every woman in corporate America that, or in high school or my daughter's ages, when you get older and I'm getting old and you could go back, I would give anything to go back to high school and college when I wasn't nice all the time and just say, like stick up for myself and be like cool and be nice because what do we have to lose? So what you're doing is so important and what you're saying needs to be validated. Sorry to talk so much. And also I'm sorry that I say like all the time. I catch myself saying like, and it drives me freaking bananas. I'm from Maryland. I'm not a Valley girl. I taught myself to be a Valley girl in like fourth grade and I cannot drop the like. So proceed with what you were saying. If you didn't forget, because your loudmouth host can't shut her big mouth, go ahead. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. This time of year is the worst. I feel like I can't do anything and I can't enjoy my dinner because I can't taste my food and I can't work out because I feel tired and distracted. I can't even feel like I can host this show because my voice sounds like a duck. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D, designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I feel like I've been using Claritin D for probably a few months now, and I have really noticed a difference. I can work out. I'm not feeling like my eyes are watering and my nose is all stuffed up. I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft. Made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft. Made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Well, I haven't heard you say like. I think I'm so, I'm so engaged in the conversation. I do want to say that it's really important to have kindness and compassion for ourselves because we all have the capacity to change and learn and grow. And like what you've done with yourself in this podcast is you've grown and you're on a healing journey. And if you have been one of those people that's been a mean girl or part of the mean girls clique, you can make the decision to change at any time, at any moment. And with every decision you make every day going forward, you can make a different choice. So for me, this isn't about condemning people and going after people. It's the opposite. It's saying, hey, if I can really look inward and at some of the choices I made and recognize this isn't me, this isn't who I am, it's not how I want to show up in the world, you can make that choice to change. And if there's people in your life that don't accept that, they're not people that want the best for you. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn that the hard way. I've had to eliminate certain relationships in my life completely because I eventually came to terms with the fact that these people do not want what's best for me. And some people enjoy watching you struggle.
Oh, honey, you've come to the right place. Yes. It's so true. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem is it's just such a complicated thing. I can remember, I call these women that were awful to me the Karens, and one of the Karens, one of the worst Karens, I could tell was just like as a kid treated so badly. You know, she didn't really have friends until she came to the area. And then she's made it her mission to like destroy my life, destroy, I've heard other people's lives, you know, say mean things, do mean things. And it all stems from this girl probably was treated really badly. And I have to remind myself of that when I drive by her house every day and give her the middle finger. Again, I'm heavily flawed. And I do that because it gives me peace and a little bit of hope in life. All kidding aside, I think it's everything you're saying is so important and so valid and so true. So when you got to the point of leaving and getting yourself better, because it's a process, right?
Yes.
How long did it take you to kind of like get yourself together? And were you struggling with like panic attack? Because that's what I was dealing with. I was just dealing with in 2020, like the worst possible all at once, childhood trauma, everything erupting. What was your thing? Was it like panic attacks, all of that kind of stuff?
What's interesting about it was I had been sick for a very long time and nobody knew, myself included. So I didn't have panic attacks, but what happened is my body started shutting down. Mm. And this is why I talk about the mind-body connection. So I had been working, and when I'm in scenarios, and I've learned too, when I'm triggered, overperforming is something that I do. And I can very clearly see that now. So I had been at this trade show working for 72 hours with very little sleep. Like, and I was on my feet and I was running around. I came back from this trade show and I couldn't shut down. And my mind was racing and I was writing in journals and I couldn't sleep. And I was like, something's wrong. So I didn't know what to do. And I remember like being on a call the next day and having a meeting. And what happened was I started to lose my ability to speak. I could not put words together. And it was the strangest thing. And then I started like walking around and I was like, I don't feel good. And I felt like I was going to collapse. Mm-hmm. And I called my husband and I was like, something's really wrong. He says, go to urgent care. So I get myself in, because he was working in San Francisco at the time. And I was in like Silicon Valley. So I got myself in an Uber and went to urgent care and they saw me and they're like, we can't take you. And I was like, what? And they're like, you're so sick. Like we can't take you. We don't. And so they sent me to a second urgent care. So I go to that one and I literally at that point could barely walk. Mm. And I get up to the desk and I say, something's wrong. Like I can't function. And they took me in, eventually said I had exhaustion and sent me home. So I go home and I have liquids and bed rest and nothing's improving. So I had a doctor, an orthopedic doctor I had gone to see because I had been suffering from debilitating chronic pain from literally head to toe. And it had gotten so bad, I could barely walk around the block. So I started emailing him saying, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I need help. And I was having thoughts of hurting myself. I remember sitting in the bathtub talking to my husband saying, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And through emailing this doctor, he put the pieces together and he reached out to my husband and said, she needs to go to the emergency room immediately. So I did. And eventually I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety disorder. And it took years to be diagnosed to the point where my body was becoming catatonic, which I didn't even know could happen if you had depression. So there's these warning signs that happen people don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really scary about it. It's very easy to hide depression. And there's people that are external. They emote emotion externally, which I'm one of those people. And there's also people that experience emotions completely internally. I've had someone ask me about the younger generation because they said, I don't understand why they're always talking about mental health. Are they weak? And I was taken back, but I also understand that's the lack of education that we have. And I explained that certain people process internally and you would never know something was wrong. And that's why, and I've lost people to suicide and addiction. People sometimes they had no idea anything was wrong. And they're like, how did I lose this person? I had no idea that something was going on with them. So it's just important to note that people process emotions differently. And even if it appears that somebody's okay, that does not mean they're okay. I had doctors looking at me because I looked okay saying, you look fine. And I was saying to them, I am not fine. So there's a lot of misconceptions and just lack of knowledge about the stuff that we want to start to educate people on because we can do a lot better. And it starts with awareness.
Well, they talk so much about the mind-body connection. And it's interesting you bring this up. I literally just did a post like 3 days ago about, you know, like I said in the beginning of the show, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I said in the post, I'm a loud mouth, which we all know, but not most people are not. So I said, check on your friends. The quiet ones are the ones you need to be most concerned about. And it is true that like if you're diagnosed with something like, you know, major depressive disorder, or like in my case, when I was dealing with all of this stuff, I was having such debilitating panic attacks that I would go to bed at night and you know, the kinds of, like, I say it a lot, like how a refrigerator, like old refrigerators or old equipment would like go like power up and then go and like power down. And that's what my panic attacks were like in 2020. Mm. I would start to fall asleep and then I would wake up and I could not breathe. And I thought every time I had one that I was literally dying. And so like the illness and like the abuse and the, like all the, childhood trauma was like a big giant snowball that was just like coming down this hill. And I kept ignoring it and I kept stopping it. And I kept like, you know, going to work and doing these jobs and putting up with like men that were like, you know, I worked in sales in the automotive industry, not like in a dealership, but in corporate America. And like I was constantly dealing with like, you know, abuse and being talked down to and like sexualized and all the things that we deal with as women. And and yet then I was told like have babies, keep working, keep doing this, be perfect looking, make a bunch of mom friends, have them not like, you know, it's like you can only take so much as human beings.
Yeah.
And until we like really, I mean, thank God for what you're doing, but I want to point out something else that I really believe in and I've done it a few times now and I'm going to continue is EMDR. Like, I don't know if you've ever done EMDR, but it freaking works. So it's the weirdest, craziest thing I've ever done in my life, but I think it's so important when you're dealing with like past trauma, like you are to, you know, find tools, like whether it be talk therapy, whether it be, you know, there's so much stuff that you can do now, like working out, exercise is huge, eating right, like limiting your alcohol, not drinking at all if you can. And I'm sure that that is hard for a lot of people, but it's really, really super important. And if you have to, I say this a lot, there's nothing wrong with being medicated. I personally have gone, you know, I was on Zoloft when I was at my worst. I'm very pro, like whatever's going to get you through this hump to the other side. Right now I'm not, but I'm really open with, you know, that I'm pro anything that's going to help people. Right.
I agree. I take medication today. Mm-hmm. I take less than I used to. There was a point where I had just started on this journey and I figured out that I was over-medicated, but I didn't know what I didn't know. So then I started to just really pare down. And there's not a lot of education about medicine either, mm-hmm. but some medicines and a lot of medicines, you have to wean yourself off. If you go off medicines cold turkey, you can go through withdrawal. And that happened to me like earlier in my life when I had been taking meds and didn't really know that that could happen. So I think, yes, whatever you need to do to feel better, I support. And I think in addition to medication, it's pairing it with the therapy that's really critical because it's your inner world that's driving this, right? Mm-hmm. And so in addition to medication, I've gone fully into my health. My health is non-negotiable. It's a priority over work. It's a priority over everything because I will no longer abuse myself to work, especially for myself, because that's counter to what I've always wanted, right? So I've worked with, and I still do, I have an individual therapist, a family therapist, a trauma therapist. I do cranial sacral therapy, acupuncture. I've done EMDR. I've done energy work with chakras. And a lot of this stuff has really been pivotal in helping me heal. And it's been a healing journey. You asked me how long this has been going on in the last 5 years, because this, my crash happened when I was 40 mm-hmm. in the fall of 2019. And so I went all in on my health because I was told by a doctor, if you take care of your health, everything else is going to take care of itself. And that really spoke to me because I realized it's not about grinding. It's not about pushing my feelings down and getting work done with sheer force of will and working around the clock and seeking approval from people around me. It's not about that. It's about my inner world. And our whole lives are really a reflection of our inner world. And I've really been able to see and understand that as I've gone through this healing journey that I'm still very much on.
Oh, we all are. We're all on a healing yeah. journey. Like, do I sound healthy? I'm talking about like driving down the street, giving people middle fingers. No, I'm also hormonal and I just started the estrogen patch. So there's hope for me. I was going to say too, my God, I don't even want to know what your medical bills are. I mean, because that's a big yeah. piece of it that I talk about too, is like we have such a crisis of mental health in our country and there's like, people don't have access to getting help and there's not enough beds yeah. in our hospitals and there's not enough education and there's not enough work, I think, in schools. Like, I think instead of having a period of just history or English or PE, I think that schools from a young age should have a class on bullying every single day, have a circle for kids to talk to each other. There's got to be something that we can do. Healthcare is too expensive. Mental health care should be free. I mean, get me off my freaking pulpit, but it's so true. When you brought up all of that therapy, I just in my head was doing like all the math. And, and I'm sitting here going, well, I know how much I have to pay to go see, to go seek out EMDR, but what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to, and I'll just use my own experience. So I'm traumatized by a memory from my childhood, like traumatized to the point where like I blocked my dad out. I did a whole episode about this because I lost my dad at 13 and I can never get the image of my dad in the casket out of my mind. So if I think about it for 2 seconds, it like literally was so traumatizing to me. And then I did EMDR and it like truly like in a session, I can't even explain it. And you've probably done it a lot more than I have, but all of a sudden I can talk about the memory again.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm thinking about like piecing it together with like the medical, the amount of money it costs. And it's just like, I'm sure you can relate to that of just being like, I have spent a fortune just trying to like get myself better, because it would be like if I had a broken arm or I cut half my arm off, like I'm going to go to the hospital and treat it. Like our brains are the same thing, right?
It's true. And I'm glad that you bring up bringing mental health education into schools. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Selena Gomez also talks about it, and she's actually, I think, gone to the government to try to get support around it, but it truly is needed because the costs are extraordinary. I recognize that people cannot afford to do this. And frankly, I can't at times. And I want to be open about this because I have 2 businesses and I bootstrapped both of them from the ground up, no investment. And I have had times in the last year where I literally had $0 in my bank account. And God has provided. That's all I can really say. I have had to live in faith that what I'm doing is in service. I want to be a vessel for the highest good. And so I have been on this path and I am really leaning into faith because I go through these moments of pure terror and fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we made a dojo in our garage. I was literally laying in the fetal position, having a complete meltdown over fears that I had. And it's not just money. It's every step of doing this business has required me to face my biggest fears. And I want to be really transparent about that because people may look at me and be like, oh, she's some rich girl who just decided to like launch. No, I've literally been leaning into faith to do this. And when I've hit points where I think, I don't know how I'm going to pay for the next month, money shows up. And that doesn't mean I'm telling people to just like quit your job and pray for the best. That's not what I'm saying. I've been on this journey and I've had to take it in baby steps every step of the way. From the first photo shoot where I have no modeling experience and I was just deer in the headlights to every part of launching this, including today. This is my first podcast. This is the first time I've ever told this story publicly. So,
and you're doing great, by the way. You're doing great.
Thank you. I had to do a lot of work for myself this morning to be ready. I do movement every day. I meditate every day. I do breath work so that I can be in the mindset to do this. And so I just want people to know that I understand it's expensive. I know not everyone can afford it. And I have empathy for that. I believe we need to find ways to make mental health accessible. And I will share, I'm sure that you're familiar with Insight Timer. It's an app.
I'm not.
Ooh, okay. This is a good one. Okay. So I always struggle with meditation.
I do too. Are you going to tell me I need to sit still? Because I can't do it.
Well, this is the thing. I really struggled for years. And it wasn't until a couple of months ago that I discovered Insight Timer and some of the breath work on there. Because what you do is the breath work it's transcendental meditation, but the breath work relaxes your body to the point where you can then actually calm down, and it creates a physiological change in you. So as somebody that also struggled, like I couldn't just sit there and meditate, my mind's just racing. Mm-hmm. I've been able to find pathways to do it that have allowed me to really get to a place of calm and peace. And it's required different types of meditation. And I share Insight Timer because it's free. It's accessible to anyone. And I'm happy to share some of these breathwork exercises I've done with you, Megan, because they've been completely transformative. And I will be honest that if I was not doing what I'm doing, launching these businesses would not be possible.
Well, I just want to say something. I'm going to look into that afterwards and we'll talk offline so you can tell me. But I love that you are your transparency and your honesty. I think I talk a lot about faith. I think it's huge. You really sometimes have to take a chance on yourself. Like, it's not easy. Like, I remember when I started my podcast almost 4 years ago, people laughed at me. I mean, I know they were laughing at me. And making fun of like my Instagram that I started and all this stuff. And I just kept going and I really leaned on my faith. And there's too many, I talk a lot about signs on the podcast because there's a lot of people that come on and talk about their stories of grief and loss. There's too many things that that I've learned in my life to know that there's nothing up there. There's no God. There's no, like, faith is so huge. And it's also something that I think people really struggle with is the financial piece of it. You know, at some point in life, I mean, all of us have struggled with finances, unless you're like a trust fund baby, unless you're like very blessed and never had to worry about money. But I will say what you're doing is so important. So sometimes you really just have to be like, okay, like I believe in this. And I still doubt myself all the time. I'm like, is my podcast ever going to grow any bigger? I'm really blessed because I do have advertising, but I want this. I don't know what I'm always doing and where I'm going to be in 5 years, but something in my heart says I'm supposed to be doing this. And the piece that you and I both share is that our work is going to help other people. So the legacy at the end of your life, which I really think is important and I share with people all the time, is we're here for such a short time, like such a short time. I can't even believe I'm the age I am because in my head, I still think I'm a teenager and act like one. But I don't know, who knows how much longer I have. I've made all kinds of mistakes in my life. I'm sure you've made all kinds of mistakes in your life.
Of course.
We continue to do it. But like at the end of my life, whenever it is, I can use this little piece that what I do to hopefully get points in heaven. And that I joke about that. It's kind of a joke, but it's also really true. Like this, my legacy hopefully will be that I help somebody like once a week or whenever they listen to this with a little thing or a little story. Your legacy is just to keep going and do what you're doing and do the breath work and do the, you know, believe in yourself, because I believe in you and I just met you. And when I talked to you that day on the phone, I was like, this is a freaking badass lady. Like, I need to meet her. And I'm sorry for, you know, these women, but at the root of what you said, it's all about them not being happy with themselves. And I still have to remind myself of that. And I need to remind my 20-something-year-old asshole self that I wasn't very nice in college to someone. Like, it's okay. Like, we can all come back. Say you're sorry. If I could see that girl or whoever I was mean to, I would say, I'm really genuinely sorry. If you're listening to this and you hate me and I did something to you, I'm really sorry, because that's not who I am. And just like those women or the bosses or whoever I've had in my life, it's okay. It's going to be okay. So keep doing what you're doing. It's really important. For the sake of time, can you tell me like where, like how people can find you and like the direction of where your company is going? Cause I love every piece of it. And I love what you said about like the beauty industry. It's getting out of control, like walking into the S store. I don't want to get in trouble, but I'll say the S store. And my tween is now into like all these tweens are using makeup and products and all this stuff. And it's like getting out of hand. And I loved that you kind of addressed that in the beginning. So tell me a little bit about like what direction you're going in, and my listeners as well.
Sure. So I launched Very Nice Beauty in July of 2023, and I launched it without a beauty product, which is, it sounds crazy, but it was intentional. And I want to be able to do things differently in general. So what I did was I launched with t-shirts. And the launch campaign is called I Identify as Very Nice, meaning we are all human beings. We share the same physiology. It's not about our differences. It's about how we are as a collective, and anybody, no matter who you are, has the capacity to show up and be very nice. So I'm right now working on building the community, and I do have big ambitions for beauty. I definitely want to launch a skincare line. I'm a massive skincare junkie. Well, I'm a product junkie in general, mm-hmm. but skincare is very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. Because
I have sensitive skin. I've had a skin cancer scare where I almost died. So just really taking care of your skin, I think, is important. And it's part of just that self-care practice. So while I'm building Very Nice Beauty, my ambition is to bring the community along with me. Because I think a lot of times with businesses, it's like mystical. Like, how did this business come to be? Who launched this? What does it stand for? Well, it's something that I want to show people, that no matter where you come from or what your life circumstance may be, that you can find a way. And I launched a consulting business that's recently expanded into payment solutions. And I'm actually using that business to fund Very Nice Beauty. Mm-hmm. And I've had to take a step back from Very Nice Beauty at times to focus on that business so I can continue Very Nice Beauty. So I do make compromises, ultimately knowing that I'm doing all of this for the greater good. Both businesses are centered around kindness and compassion, and they're meant to do good things in the world and support other. One is B2B, supporting other good businesses, and the other one is B2C for consumers. So this is a journey I want to bring people on with me so they can see that it's possible and also see what could be possible for them.
I love it. I think it's so interesting too. I've never like really heard of somebody doing something like that. But for some reason, it's so interesting not having a tangible product. I mean, you have the shirts and everything, but just the concept of building the community and, you know, getting other people on board, because it's so important what you're doing. It's very much needed. Very, very much needed. In closing, where can people find you?
Yeah, I just started my personal handle, and I say that because I was hiding under Very Nice Beauty, and I recently had a breakthrough. I was like, okay, I need my own personal. So my personal is the Jennifer Lasco on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to find Very Nice Beauty, it's on both Instagram and TikTok.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. It was so nice to meet you in person.
Thank you.
Not over the phone.
Likewise.
We're neighbors, so I'm sure we'll see each other again. In closing, everyone, please take care of yourselves. Check in, like I said, on your friends, especially the quiet ones. They need you. They might not be talking about their struggles, but if you notice something different, or if they're not speaking up, it's so important. We have a mental health crisis to check in on your friends and your family, because they need you right now. And there's always hope and there's always help. In closing, keep going. You matter. Your story matters. Thanks, Jennifer.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.